The following presentation is brought to you by Rita, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudyard. All material is copyrighted by Layla Rudyard Hill. If you'd like to learn more about Rita or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com. We hope you enjoy the following presentation of The Astrology of Self-Actualization by Dane Rudyard. This talk is 35 minutes long.
As you all know, astrology is spreading very widely today, more than perhaps ever, at least since very long time ago in the Greek or the Roman period. The thing which is probably the most striking, and which is certainly unparalleled in history, is the fact that the young people are so interested in astrology. And the thing which is further interesting is that their interest usually, in many cases at least, especially perhaps in the West, but I'm sure also here, though I'm less familiar with the Eastern situation, because I live in California. The thing which is so interesting is that rather than being contented with the usual type of rather cut and dried astrological interpretation, this mean that, this and that, according to textbooks and so on, they are really looking for something which is different, something which is alive, something which has a message for their life and the future of our society, which is in such a critical stage at the present time. Now, astrology is a rather confusing field because there are so many systems, so many different ideas, and you can find sometimes almost any opinion about any particular thing as there are groups of people dealing with those subjects. But, of course, what should make an astrologer feel better is that if you are dealing with psychology or medicine, you are really facing exactly the same situation, because there are as many systems of psychology and very violently opposed schools of psychology as there are astrological groups. So we have really nothing to worry about too much, because it seems to be a situation which is particularly relevant to everything which touch human beings and human life, especially today in our age of crisis and transition. The trouble, as I see it, with so much of astrological speculation and traditions and opinions, is that they seem to always take for granted all sorts of things and do not ask the very simple and fundamental question, what is astrology, and especially, what is it for? What place astrology has in life? What place can we think it will take in a future society or a future civilization or the new age of which so many people speak, hopefully, and perhaps with over-optimistic sense and dreams? Now, as I see it, astrology is the application of a life philosophy of existence, application of a certain type of psychology, and the type of astrology and psychology which I used and promote, and have done so for the last 35 years, is based on the concept of personalism, on holism, looking at situation, at human beings, at the world as a whole, also group activity, and so on. I shall come to that in a moment in greater detail. But I want first to say what it, to my mind, it is not. Or at least as I see it, it is not. It is not a definite system. Traditional, empirical, scientific, which started somewhere in Chaldea or Egypt, and which has been passed on from generation to generation, more or less unchanged, and with very definite traditional meaning, which must be respected because they are the truth. They correspond to facts and so on. Now you can go back to Chaldea or Egypt. Actually, much of the present-day astrology refers to Ptolemy, who lived in Alexandria after Christ. You can speak of it also as astrology as it was known in the 16th and 17th century in Europe and in France and Germany and so on. All that is the traditional type of astrology, and there is nothing really wrong with it, if you want to say so, but it is something which, unfortunately, to my opinion, in my opinion, has come to us in a very set and crystallized form in the shape of aphorisms, of definite statements about a planet here means this, conjunction of this and that means something else, everything being more or less stated in a very pat form as to what everything definitely and separately mean, so that you have there a set of recipes, as it were. You learn them by heart, and then when you look at a chart, you remember all those things one by one, all what they mean, and so on, and you somewhat tabulate them, and you expect that thereby you have understood everything. In a certain sense, you have understood everything except the one thing that matters, that is the person that you are dealing with, or the situation that you are dealing with as a whole. Now, there are various ways in which you can deal with astrology, and all those ways have certain validity where they are applied to, and in terms of what they really are intended to mean or to signify, and the way they are to be applied. Some people insist that astrology is a kind of empirical science, that it is based on the observation of people all throughout the centuries and added to, just like you built up certain result of certain experiment in physics or chemistry and so on. This is not the type of approach which I have, which I deal with. I do not think that astrology deals with energies, with rays from planets which are striking the Earth or any particular individual according to his birth chart and making fall in love or break his neck or become ill or gain lots of money in the race track or anything of that nature which deal with events. The type of astrology that concerns me doesn't deal with events as much as it deals with persons. And that is a very great difference. Besides, as I said in the beginning, it is the application of a very definite philosophy or psychology of existence. And sometimes you can find astrologers, or two or three, who follow more or less the same general approach as far as looking at a chart is concerned, looking at it as a whole, in an organic sense and so on, and yet because they have very different philosophies or different approach to psychology, actually their approach to the interpretation of the chart and what they say to the client or the people they deal with can be extremely different. So that behind the techniques that are being used, there is something which is far more important which is what the person using those techniques actually means by using them, what he does with them, what is back of them, what is the philosophical approach and psychological approach, which is the expression of his own personality. So that, as I see it, astrology is essentially a method, a technique for understanding, for developing human understanding. It is a discipline of mind, you might say. A discipline which helps you to develop certain faculties, particularly help you to learn to feel, think, because it is both feeling and thinking whole. In other words, through astrology you can become more able to develop certain kind of intuitive, holistic perception of the whole situation which are confronting you, and of yourself also as a kind of whole person, which is a whole situation in the universe, you see. Now, when I speak of person, I don't mean entirely only a human being. According to the Roman tradition, personality was also a legal matter, a firm, a state, any definite social institution which has a permanent character, which has very definite functional activities, can be considered as a person, as a legal person, as a social person. So that you can deal with astrology in terms of the whole and whole person, both in relation to a human being or an organization which has a definite permanent quality, or at least relatively permanent quality, and which has particularly a cycle. That is to say, it has a beginning, it grows, it develops, it unfolds, it multiplies itself, it reproduces itself, perhaps in progeny or branches and so on, and it has also eventually a period of disintegration and an end. Now, what is important, as I see it, in looking at a chart, is to be able to see any event which take place during your life as a phase of a process of growth, you see, rather than as an unrelated event, as something which just happened to you. You don't know why, and you have no particular reason to find its meaning. It's good or bad according to whether you like it or you don't like it, according to what it seems to be doing in terms of the immediate activities that you are engaged in. But if you, instead of looking at an event in such a happening way, happenstance, as they say, you look at it as a phase in the total process of development of your total being from birth to death, then, of course, the whole picture changes. And it can transform your whole attitude to yourself and to any things which happen in your life. Because even if you think that particular event is a tragic thing, difficult thing, unpleasant thing, if you can see it as a phase of your life, as a phase of your growth, then suddenly it can be a very necessary problem or difficulty, crisis if you want, a crisis of growth, something that you must go through in order to be yourself, to actualize fully the potential of your nature. When you are born, you are a bundle of potentialities, and the whole purpose of life, if there is any purpose, is to actualize all the, or as much as you can, of those potentialities which you are born with, you see. Now, anything which help you to actualize those potentialities is, quote, good, quote. It is necessary. It is something which is part of the whole picture of your life, and something, therefore, which you can never understand unless you see it within the frame of reference of your total destiny, which means simply the total structure of your life and of your unfoldment. Now, this is a very important thing, you see, because if you have passed through a crisis of some sort, which perhaps left some rather difficult mark in your life, and or in your psyche, or in your body, if you have been very ill and so on, or an accident or whatnot, and you look at it as something which has blighted your life, as a terrible thing, you know, and oh, you never get over it maybe, or something like that, then of course you tend to face anything that is coming to you with that negative picture of lack, or of failure, or of trauma, which you have not been able to resolve into anything constructive. But even if it seems to be destructive, and yet you see that it is out of that crisis and that seeming destruction that something evolved, which leads you to something greater, to your maturity, to your full development as a person, then you realize suddenly that what you considered as a blighting experience was in fact the prelude to your growth, the necessary step which you had to take in order to fulfill yourself. And therefore you have changed the event. You can change your past. The past is not something fixed, because if you what you retain of it is the memory of it, is the value which you gave to that past. And if you change that value, if you change the meaning of it, the relationship that it has to the rest of your life, then of course it is no longer a destructive thing, but it is just the kind of shock or crisis or something like that which was necessary in order to make you grow as a fully mature human being. So that you see, you can realize that astrology, considered from that point of view, is essentially not a matter of predicting the future, because you never can exactly predict it anyway. And there are all sorts of psychological problems involved in predicting something which has not yet come. But you see it as a mean to understand what has happened and what is happening at the time, so that you see the event which was, or the event which is now happening, in a new way, from a new perspective, on the basis of the fulfillment of your total person. And the change from thinking of it as an unrelated happening to a phase of a process can mean a complete transformation of your life and your consciousness, you see. Now, this is something which therefore is so significant, and yet at the same time which most people who are dealing with astrology have no conception of or do not pay attention to. All they want to know is what is going to happen, whether it is a good day to do this or a bad day and so on. But there is nothing good or bad in astrology. There is nothing good or bad in your chart. You must go beyond that dualistic and ethical kind of approach to yourself, to your life, to your birth chart, to anything. You have rather to take an aesthetical approach, where you are seeking your life as a whole and any particular situation as a complete thing, as a total thing, which has many elements, and all those elements have a definite form, a definite meaning, and all that matters is for you to understand that meaning. And of course, the great and primary event is your being born. What is the meaning of that? Why are you born? Who are you? What are you? You see. And that is why astrology has impressed so much many of the young generation today, who are seeking quite desperately and to find out who they are, and what they are about, and what is their function and place in the universe. Astrology is a way to have an objective realization of that place and function in the universe, and the way you are related to other entities, organisms, persons, and all that in the universe. This is the thing that matters. Nothing else really matters, you see. It is not a matter of abstract philosophy. It is not a matter of remembering definite recipes as to what mean this in this and this and this condition. But it is to understand who you are, to try to live a fuller life. It is an existential approach. It is not an abstract thing. It is essentially something which deals with that which is the very essence of your existence, which is the foundation of it. The birth chart is the foundation of your existence, because it is then that you emerge from a closed environment of the womb, and you are there opening yourself to the universe, opening this potential empty kind of organism. You're opening it up to the universe, breathing the universe in, reacting to it by a cry and God knows what. And out of all that, you see, you are starting a phase as an individualized person, or at least as a potentially individualized person. In a sense, your body is slightly different from any other bodies. Not only the line in your hand or the composition of chemistry in your blood, the pattern of your acids in the cells and the genes and all that are really individualized factors, to some extent at least. But in a deeper sense, you see, your reaction of all that to the place in which you are born, the people amidst which you are born, your environment, your society, your culture, all that, out of that relationship between your organism as a whole and you as the wholeness of that organism and your environment, it is out of that that you really develop the fullness of the personality, because the person is never an isolated fact. It is the person in relation to its environment. The person is the relationship of the individual to the environment. And we should stop thinking in terms of individual, completely separated from other individuals. We should begin instead to think of persons, whole of existence, total organism of body and psyche and mind, having a certain place and function in their society, in their universe, even if that function and place should be to try to transform that society or to drop out of it in order to look at it from a different way and being able, perhaps in a freer way, to begin the seeds of a future society. You see, all that, you see, depends on what I call a cyclocosmic approach to life. Cyclo being the wholeness of something in time, the cosmos being the wholeness of something in space. A cosmos is a total organization, an organized system of activities which has a definite structure, but it has also a beginning and an end, and a certain rhythm of unfoldment between that beginning and that end. So it is a cycle, a wholeness in time. It is a cosmos, a wholeness in space, you see. And astrology deals with whole cycles, as well as it deals with whole persons or whole situations. You see, the difference between an event and a situation is that the event is unrelated to anything else, in a sense. Or at least you think it is. Whereas a situation is that event related to a whole, related to the universe, related to you in yourself. You find yourself in a certain situation because that situation relates you to other entities and to the earth, to society, and to the universe as a whole. So you are dealing with those relationships. And astrology is a technique which enables you to discover the structure, the inherent structure of a whole situation, of the whole set of relationships which include a particular situation or a particular person, because a person is itself a sum total of relationship between the different organs, cells, functions, drive, which constitute the total person. You see. Now, astrology deals with the beginning of cycle because it deals always with what I call the seed moment of that cycle. It is the logos, the word that is in the beginning. And in that word, in that archetypal structure, is contained in potency the structural pattern of the whole development. You see. But again, if you want to understand your life and everything in it, you have to be very careful to differentiate between structure and contents. The structure is definite, and you are not going to change it appreciably. But you can change totally, almost, the contents of that structure. I have a glass of water. It's full of water, but it could be wine. It could be poison. It could be anything, you see. I don't drink the glass, I drink the water. At least I hope it's water. And you see, the question therefore is that when you are dealing with your life, you are in a situation where you have to realize that the structure of this life is set in a way. That is what you call the destiny. But that doesn't mean determinism. Because you can do anything with that structure or within that structure. The contents of the structure, the meaning you give to them, to the events, this is your freedom. And by changing the meaning of what happened to you, the meaning of your crisis, the meanings of those periods in which you grow or change or decay, that too is the things that is really the important fact, you see. This is the thing which will tell what kind of a person you are. Whether you are defeated by circumstance or whether you are using them in order to fulfill yourself as a creative factor in the universe, you see. Every moment, in a sense, can be a new beginning. You can be born or reborn at any moment, provided that you are able, you, that is the total person, not something mysterious, transcendent, and far away or something, but you as a total person is able to meet the moment that comes, to meet it in such a way that being fully open to it, fully responsive, you can accept being totally transformed by it. And if you do, then it's a new you that emerges. You have started a new cycle. You haven't changed the basic cycle or pattern of your existence, but you have created a new sub-cycle. And that sub-cycle can be so rich in contents that that old structure, which is the basic things of your life, instead of being dull or inert or empty at the end, becomes completely full of contents. Using a gospel example, which I often do use, you know, it is said in the gospel that Jesus ascended the Mount of Transfiguration, and then the Christ spirit, as it were, came into him, and his body was flooded with light and radiating light and so on. I consider it as the great moment of the Christ's life, which is, as it were, the marriage of heaven and earth, of the Son of God becoming completely one with the Son of Man. This is the apex of any human existence. But when Jesus came down the mount, he had the same nose, he had the same ears, he had the same body, but it was transformed and transfigured, it was radiant with light. The contents were changed. The structure wasn't changed, you see. And that is what you can make of your life. You can transform or transfigure the structure of your being by filling it with tremendously different kind of contents. Yes. And if you do that, then everything becomes changed. And that is the kind of things, you see, that astrology can lead you to, provided that you look at it from the point of view of a truly existential and constructive kind of philosophy, which is concrete and not merely dealing with abstractions. I often spoken of your birth chart as your celestial name. It is whereas your parents give you name which are conditioned by the tradition of their culture, their religion, their society, and all that, and which may have nothing to do with what you are as an individual person. Your birth chart can be considered as your celestial name. It is the name which defines your place in the universe. The time and place in which you were born establish your relationship to the whole universe. And that relationship is your own true name. And you know undoubtedly that at initiation in the past, or even if you religious order in the present day or in Europe, the initiate was always given a new name. If you can find your new name, the name which is yours by birthright, you see, by cosmic birthright, not social birthright, then you can see yourself in a more objective way. Now you know that in numerology they analyze your name, and each letter of the name has a relationship to a certain cycle, 9-year cycle in your life and all that. Sometimes it seems to work very well, sometimes it does not. In astrology, the 7-year cycle is extremely important, because you get three 28-year cycle which deal with the 84-year revolution of Uranus around the Sun. And I think this is the real archetypal span of life of man as as a thinking individual, as an individual who can transform himself, an individual who is not merely an exemplar or a specimen of a particular culture or society, but who really can function and operate as an individual person, you see. So, if you study those cycles of the 7-year cycle, the cycle of the progress moon and the progress sun, called progress lunation cycle, if you say other cycle, the progress, the cycle of the transiting Saturn, and various other cycles like that, then you see, you have a way to face objectively what is happening to you and to give it meaning in terms not of a traditional, social, merely human kind of knowledge, but in terms of basic rhythms of the universe. And that is the kind of consciousness which will be needed if you are going to have a new age or a really new society. You have to go beyond your ego pattern, which means going beyond set social pattern or cultural patterns, because it is those cultural social patterns which are the foundation of what you call your ego. And if you want to develop yourself as an individual person and as a builder of the future, as a creative spirit and as a free spirit, then You have to know who you are, not as the world knows you, but as the universe knows you, not as society knows you, not as your parents know you, but as the universe knows you. And that is the thing which is important, to become a celestial, you see, to become a chord of function, an organism, a whole, within the sublime symphony of the whole cosmos. Astrology can be a way, a technique, which leads you to such realization, but not every kind of astrology. And all depends of how you use it, where you find the directions which will lead you to that kind of approach, and especially it depends on the basic philosophy and psychology which you accept as a guide to an understanding of the universe. And I hope that someday all of you may realize through astrology, or in many other ways, because there are many other ways, that fullness, that richness, that wholeness, which is defined by your celestial name.
This is the end of The Astrology of Self-Actualization by Dane Rudyard. The preceding audio is copyrighted by Leila Rudyard Hill and was brought to you by Rita, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about Rita or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard at www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com.